It's always a pleasure to welcome for a couple of minutes Jim Duquette, the former GM and with the SNY and doing the Major League Baseball with the radio network. Jim, I hope all is well this holiday season for you and yours.
Thanks, Steve. Same to you. Everybody is doing well. Thanks.
You bet. And glad to have you for a couple of minutes.
Give us
your thoughts, your impression, your feelings about the Metropolitans picking up Cano and Diaz.
Well, when I initially heard it, I didn't feel real good about it. I don't feel too much better about it today. But, I mean, I do think they're going to be better for next year. A lot of this is going to be dependent on what else they do. It sounds like they're going to be aggressive. That's a good sign. It sounds like they're going to try to fill a couple other of their holes that they have. So I think that's all positive. So I think we have to reserve our final judgment till we see the final product. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of acquiring 36-year-old declining players, and that's what Cano is, coming off of the steroid use from last year. So that's where I had the issue with it. Like, you know, if you were to have him out there, and if you swap out the Bruce and Swarzak, I don't think that's as big of a deal. The prospects, I like Kelenic a lot, but we don't know for another 3 years what he's going to turn out to be. So, you know, if I was sitting there and if I were in Brody's shoes and I had the choice, I would have preferred to keep the prospects and go out and get a couple of those relievers. But you know what? I can't dispute how good Diaz is. A legit closer. He's one of the top ones in the game. So from that perspective, they're a lot better. And I think Cano, as we saw last year, their offense was so bad, Cano will be one of their better offensive players for 2019. So, on the surface, it looks good.
Yeah, on the surface. And I have the same reservations that you do, because I think Undo itself, I don't think most of us, even the most diehard Metropolitan fans, and most Met fans, are excited because the Mets are doing something.
Yeah.
Whether this is going to work out the way everyone wants it to, that remains to be seen, obviously. And the same thing with the prospects. The Mets are taking on a little bit more money, but money notwithstanding, ticket prices go up anyway for the fans.
Right.
And listen, the idea is to improve the baseball team, make the product worthwhile to spend the money that you are going to spend for a ticket. Everyone kind of thinks and believes, Jim, that Cano, when he did come back from the 80-game suspension, he hit .317.
Right. So
a lot of Metropolitan fans are thinking, yes, he is 36, but he can still hit. He's a professional hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, he's a former Yankee. Yes, he's coming off the 80-game suspension with the PEDs. Yes, he's not familiar with the National League, with the pitching and with National League ballparks. Bottom line is a lot of Metropolitan fans are very excited, I think in part, maybe the most part, not just because it's a 36-year-old second baseman, but because the Mets want to be players in this hot stove off season.
So I would be, that's where I would maybe hang my hat and get excited, which is their aggressiveness, which is, you know, it's a stark change from what we saw the last year or two, right? Certainly under Sandy. Sandy was a lot more deliberate, is probably the best word, nice word. But, you know, I like what Brody at least is projecting and what some of the message that he's talked about. There's a little bit of gunslinger in him, and I like that aspect of it because, you know what, when you're new in a job like that, I think, showing the aggressiveness and showing the willingness to really explore all these different options, for me, it's refreshing. And the fact that they're even considering Realmuto from the Marlins,
mm-hmm.
Potentially,
right.
I love it. You know, the fact that they at least explore what you could get back for Noah Syndergaard, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what he should be doing as a GM. So I think all of those things, for me, is what I'm maybe most hopeful on, and I'm anxious to see his next couple moves.
And one of those moves could be A.J. Pollock, because we understand, and probably you know as well, Jim,
yeah,
that the Mets have been in touch with the agent of A.J. Pollock, and Van Wagenen has basically said it would be a good fit for their team, and they will continue to pursue. And, of course, this is a good news for the Metropolitan fan as well, Jim.
Well, Pollock is he's a legit player. I mean, he's had the health issues, as we know. But, you know, and you know, I don't think he's played more than 113 games the last 2 years. But I would say this: when he's been on the field, he's been really, really productive. I think he's, you know, his asking price is $80 million. He's not going to get it. He's probably going to be closer to 50. And you know, if it's a 3-year deal, it's a 4-year deal in that range, I'd be supportive of that too. He does fit. There's not many center fielders out there. I think that's exactly what they need. You know, I'm not a Lagares guy, you know, as a backup maybe, but certainly not as a everyday guy. So if you added Pollock to the top of your lineup and Cano, already the offense is a lot better, and we know that was the worst part about watching last year was the offense and how inept it was for most of the year. So yeah, I think that's all positive. I clearly like their bullpen, and you know, if they keep the rotation intact, this would be a team that's going to be a lot better. I just think the division is a lot better too.
And a lot of us think that at this point, where the Metropolitans are, that you can't trade Syndergaard. You got to keep him.
Yeah, you can't do it. Yeah, I mean, the only way you could do it is if you're going to shop on the free agent market and go replace him with another suitable pitcher. Now that Corbin's off the board there with Washington, I'd say Eovaldi is the next best guy. He or Dallas Keuchel. So yeah, if you're the Mets and you told me that okay, we're going to consider moving Syndergaard to fill a couple more holes and we're going to go sign Eovaldi, I like those moves, but I certainly wouldn't like jettisoning Noah without any type of other starter to replace him.
You have concerns about Syndergaard at all, Jim?
I don't anymore. I thought he really made strides last year, Steve. I watching him, especially down the stretch in September when he had the two complete games, that was a different guy. He finally looked like he figured it out and figured out he didn't have to strike everybody out to get out to get outs. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you go deep in a game like that, I thought that was the thing that DeGrom was able to impact Syndergaard the most on, which was just attack, be on the attack, trust your stuff is good enough, and his stuff is good enough. And, he was able to get early outs and not let the big inning affect him. When I see young pitchers like that do what he did, that usually is a good sign. So I'm real hopeful that he's going to just use that as a stepping stone next year.
And a good sign also, and we're talking, of course, to a voice very familiar to any fan listener, any time of day, night, your name it already, is Jim Duquette with the Major League Baseball, with the Radio Network, and with SNY, the former GM, of course. Jim, how about Wheeler? Do you think he has found his game?
Yeah, I think, you know, Wheeler, if you had asked me at the beginning of last year who was going to find it first, I would have bet Syndergaard. Well, it happened to Wheeler instead. But that's okay. I mean, either way, you know, I think Wheeler, you know, the really good thing that Dave Island, the pitching coach, did with all those guys, but specifically Wheeler and Syndergaard, built on what DeGrom was doing, which was pitch inside and be on the attack. And Wheeler just it clicked for him in the middle of the summer. And he never looked back, and he was able to stay healthy too. So, yeah, I'm a big Wheeler believer. Sometimes with young pitchers like him, it takes a while to figure it out. I think he was derailed, or slowed in his development because of all those injuries. So, I think he's figured it out too. So, those three guys, man, I'm bullish on all three of them. Obviously,
you know, we are hearing that if there is any kind of a deal with Miami regarding Real Muto, they would want a controllable asset among Nimmo, Conforto, Rosario. Which of the three? My take is that I would give Nimmo, if I could hold on to Conforto and Rosario, I would do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I would rather see Nimmo go, and not for any other reason than I think you could replace, I expect Conforto, when he's healthy, to have a much better year. Right. He showed signs in the second half. So, if you were to add Pollock, I think the outfield is much better, and you could find another piece somewhere to fill out the rest of that outfield, and Nimmo for me would be expendable. We didn't see the best of Rosario. I think you started to at the end of the year, but again, to the point I made earlier, the development of young players, it's not linear, right? And we've seen that plenty. I think there is a lot more in there. I thought he got to the big leagues a little sooner And he didn't have the fundamentals that I would have liked to have seen for a young middle infielder. So, you know, I think they're going to make some alterations to their development plan. And you know, having said that, I think Rosario had to learn at the major league level, which you don't always right. like to have. He had to learn more at the major league level, right. put it that way.
McNeil, you want to try him at third?
I like him. I like him at third, too. Yeah, I haven't seen him at third. I was impressed. Here was the thing that we've seen a couple times, right? We've seen it with Conforto. The organization said he wasn't very good defensively. He's turned out better than that. We saw McNeil. We kept hearing he couldn't hit well, and he couldn't play well defensively. Well, he exceeded the expectations there, too. So I'm anxious to see how he can play third. I think it'll be certainly adequate enough. He handled second base well, so I'm not all that concerned about it. I think that's the one thing they didn't have not had over the last couple of years is roster depth. So I feel a little better about it.
Peter Alonso, we didn't get Jim. We didn't get to see him in September. We will see him in spring training. Will he get a legitimate chance to earn that first base job?
Well, I hope so. The thing on him, Steve, is I saw him in the Futures game, right? Serious. Sponsors of Major League Baseball's future game at the All-Star game. He was there. A couple defensive plays he should have made. You know, you keep hearing that on the defensive side. That's not great. He had shown improvement. And that's the one area I want to watch in spring training to see if he's capable of handling the position at the Major League level now. And I don't blame the organization for not bringing him up because I don't think he was ready defensively. I really don't. So I do think that at some point they're going to give him that opportunity. My only concern, the other concern on the Cano deal is at some point he's going to have to move to first. And I don't want him blocking Alonso if Alonso's bat is going to play at the major league level. So I think you'd be willing to take a little less defense because of it.
Do you think all of this talk and excitement and the current buzz that is now in this offseason with the New York Metropolitans, do you think it's smoke and mirrors, or do you really think that Van Wagenen's first job, first score, was convincing Will Pond to open up the wallet, be aggressive, make some moves, and let's turn things around as soon as possible?
Well, I do think that he is in that honeymoon period. You know, when Omar Minaya took over for me, he was given the leeway to go and spend money, and he did it effectively. And you know what, the Mets, we ended up going on to some good things over those years. I know it didn't go as far as Mets fans would have wanted, but it was pretty aggressive. And I think Sandy came on board. It was a little different situation there in a rebuild. So I kind of go back to when Omar took over, try to compare it to that spot, and I think, you know, Brody has maybe convinced him. I think that, you know, the Wilpons don't like losing. I know, contrary to some Mets fans, they're pretty competitive. They maybe gone about it the wrong way sometimes, but I do believe that, you know, Brody's direction and the confidence he has in the ownership right now that they are going to spend some money. I don't know how much, but I think the team's going to look dramatically different.
And, of course, Alan Baird is now joining the front office. In other words, it seems like they're getting some support and redoing the front office as much as the Metropolitan fan, Jim, wants to see the team redone a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've known Allard for a long time. It's not an insignificant move. I mean, he's a really good evaluator. He was obviously involved with the Red Sox when they won their World Series there under Theo Epstein and Ben Sherrington, too. You know, he had a little lesser role under Dave Dombrowski, but he's a good evaluator, knows what he's doing. And, yeah, when you bring in, you know, some guys like that, I think they'll certainly complement, you know, Brody's inexperience in that area. I think Omar is still one of the top evaluators, considered one of the top evaluators, especially at the amateur and international level. So they have a lot of interesting things going on. Hopefully it's gonna end up working out. I like the you can't be better without trying to be aggressive. Right. I think that's the one thing I've seen around the game. If you're going to be patient, you're going to end up with the seconds and thirds, and that a lot of times that doesn't work out.
And Jim Riegelman is going to be there to make sure that the Mets don't bat out of order, Jim.
Hey, let's hope we don't see that again. That was embarrassing. how about a couple double switches? Maybe we can see some better double switches and bullpen management this year.
How many times was he like going to the bullpen before the pinch hitter was announced already also? What is that?
You're striking a nerve now. It was at least twice that I remember, because I happened to be doing a post game both times. I still can't believe it. I can't believe the excuse he used afterwards. But I think that'll get better with Riggleman helping him.
I think so, too. He's got certainly the experience. Let me ask you a final question, and then I'll let you go. And this is really sort of outside the box. This voice I heard this afternoon wasn't a part of the press conference, wasn't a part of the GM and with Jeff Wilpon and the two players. But on another program on The Fan today, I heard a voice of a former New York Metropolitan, a player who was adored and respected and beloved by Met fans for his part in 1986. He's now going to manage the Long Island Ducks. Yeah. Let me ask you something about Wally Backman. Do you think the Mets would ever give him a chance to manage the Major League team?
I think, unfortunately for Wally, that ship has sailed. You know, under Sandy Alderson and that group, I think they gave him an opportunity. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for them for whatever reason. I don't know all of the particulars, but his opportunity as a Met, and I honestly think this, Steve, his opportunity for any Major League team is probably over. But I like the fit there in Long Island. I thought that was a nice, unique, and quality hire for them.
And I was happy to hear the interview. He was on The Fan earlier today, and he was happy to get the chance to develop and work with some kids, because obviously it's in his DNA. And one final thing, one more time, Jim, sorry. Sure. But the bullpen, and they must do more with the bullpen, Jim.
Yeah, I'd like to see another arm or two. Certainly a lefty as well. I think, when you had Diaz in the back, now you put Lugo and Gesell in there. I mean, you'll match up well on most nights, but as we've seen around the game, some of these teams that have moved, into the forward thinking front offices, they've had five deep, even six deep, to be able to use your bullpen in the right ways, but also give them the proper rest. So, and Diaz loves the ball. He pitched 4 days in a row. I watched the series against the Astros. He pitched 4 days in a row and had four saves. They swept the Astros, and so this guy's got a rubber arm. But let's hope that they don't use him like Terry Collins used Jurys Familia. Let's have enough depth where they were a little bit more judicious in their usage.
Yeah, no. I mean, he was used so much he needed to start to throw and learn how to throw left-handed.
Yeah, he couldn't brush his teeth some days.
I believe you.
Yeah.
That was... and again, well, the bottom line is, if for the sake of conversation here, this is a hypothetical one more time. Yeah. I'm asking a question, then I promise I'll let you go. If they were to trade, for the sake of conversation here, Jim Nimmo, if they were to trade him in some kind of a deal for Real Muto, would the Mets, and here comes the home run question, would the Mets make a play, a real play, for Bryce Harper?
I don't think there's any chance that they're going to be in on Bryce or Manny Machado. And as much as I have been around the organization, love the organization, love talking about them, you and I have seen the most expensive player they've ever signed. That ended up, unfortunately, much to my chagrin, didn't end up well with David Wright. And nor did it end up well with Johan Santana. So I don't think the appetite is there to go anywhere near $300 million for Bryce Harper. That's the minimum, by the way. The floor has been set. I think he's going to end up at $330 or $340 million.
Where do you think he's going to go?
Oh man, I've been predicting the Nationals all along. They're going to be tough to beat, and the fact that the Yankees, the Dodgers, they're all in it, that's just going to keep pushing the price up. I still think it's going to be Washington. I would be very surprised that they don't ante up.
And Machado?
I still like Manny and Philly. You know, the division's going to be tough. The NL East, if everything goes the way I think, and, Corbin obviously signed with Washington, they're improving. But if Harper goes there and Machado goes to Philly's, that Segura trade was a good one, and they're going to spend more money, so It's going to be a fun summer. It's going to be a lot of competition, a lot of fun games, I think, and a little bit more here in the East this year.
Corbin has had 8 starts against the Mets. The Mets are like, he's like 1-4 against the Mets.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He had an unbelievable last year in the final 2 months of 2017. He started throwing the slider like 40% of the time, and that really took off after that. So he's a little different pitcher than he was earlier in his career.
8 starts against the Mets, 1-4 with an ERA over 5. Bring him on,
Bring him
Jim.
On.
Jim, thanks so
All right,
much.
Dave, you got it, man.
And have
Anytime.
A great holiday season.
I will talk soon. Thanks.
All right.